Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, it's that time of the year. The time of the year for me when I see something that I need to make a correction on. And, you know, sometimes we just see problems and we go, I'll get to it. Well, it's there again. And my way of fixing a problem is to share this with you. And today it's going to be about the problem, but also the solution. The title of the show, Biomass Waste. So think about this. Every single one of you this time of the year, you're driving past a nursery, a farm. You're driving past a market somewhere, a Costco, a Trader Joe's, whatever is in your area of the country. And you're seeing all these pumpkins outside and the hay bales and the corn decorations. And people are buying them like crazy. Hey, and I think you should, by the way, because I think it's pretty awesome. I grow my own pumpkins. And we use Inspector Dave's corn to do some decorating, etc. So let's figure this out. Watch right after Halloween, or, you know, sometimes people will hang on till Thanksgiving, but most right after Halloween, and look at the garbage. And you see massive, and I mean biomass waste, massive amounts of pumpkins thrown out, the corn, the hay bales. Well, there is something that we can do with them, and I don't want to forget our cousins, the gourds, because, by the way, gourds are some really cool things, but people buy lots of gourds, smaller little, because if you don't know this, pumpkins really are gourds, and people find the smaller little guys inside the houses, and I want you to actually use these and enjoy them, but let's talk about what we can do with them so they don't just go into our garbage and into our waste. We can reuse these products. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of your stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let's just go to the pumpkins for a second. Well, at the end of the season, I actually place my pumpkins on my property where I want pumpkins to grow the next year. Make sure that there's enough room because pumpkins are growing a vine. And if you've never seen them grow, it's just a neat thing. When I leave the pumpkins out there, the critters, specifically the squirrels, but many of them, will go and munch on the pumpkins, and hey, they're getting the free meal off this deal, and I don't mind that. And then when there are just a few seeds left, they just get left in that spot. They don't eat them all, and now I've got my own pumpkin vines growing. So instead of biomass waste, I let the animals use, and then I get my own pumpkins off the deal. How about this? As you drive past all those farms and nurseries I described before, what about the chrysanthemums? We just commonly call them mums. They are a perennial plant. Most people just put them out in the pots they purchased them in, and now they're selling them in some decorative pots. I've seen some with little pumpkin-y faces on the pots, and it probably costs a little bit more. And people just grow them, they let them die, and they just throw them in the garbage, more biomass waste. Remember I said, they are perennial flowers. Anytime, and typically we have a family festival party at my house, and I get lots of mums. But as soon as I buy the mums, I am planting them in the ground where I want them to be, and some that are on my front stairs. As soon as the party is over, I've already planned as to where they are going, and I plant them in the ground. Next year, I get mums growing all over my property. So you see, I don't have to buy that many because I already have some growing. And one of my mums actually flowers twice a year because I deadhead the flowers. And when I deadhead them, I get a second surge of them. And mums, see, they are forced to bloom at this time of the year. Many mums actually are summer blooming plants. I do have one that's a fall blooming plant, but the rest of mine are summer blooming. And you really won't know that until you start to grow them. So that's a piece of the puzzle you need to, you know, really take a look at. So now let's go to annual flowers. I'm going to talk to you about my home that I'm in right now, beautiful piece of property. And when I purchased this home, I guess I'm in here about 20 years now. When I purchased a real old home, historic, when I had the property, there basically, except for grass, there was only a few hostas on the property. And I needed to work real hard. And for me, I love color. I love the flowers. So I started planting annual after annual because I had to, just to get some color in the property. but I slowly began to replace them with perennial flowers. And then I would split the crop. That means, and actually, I have a show on how to do this. So you can go, don't go to that show now. You need to listen to this one now. But you can go there and you can cut the crop in half and put a little piece of that perennial here, the purple coneflower here, piece of purple coneflower there. I mentioned the purple coneflower because it is my favorite. And what I'm slowly doing is, because all the annual flowers, it's not a lot, but if you have lots of them, there's a lot of biomass waste. So I have slowly taken away, and now if you go into my property, it is filled with perennials after 20 years of just splitting. And again, you share with other people, and you give them a piece of a perennial that you may have back and forth. And do I decorate with a few annuals? The answer is yes and few. Hey, annuals add some real nice color to it. Well, things we need to think about. I plant some of my annuals in with my herbs. I have container grown herbs. And just to add some color to it, I like that. The Dusty Miller, which is sold as a annual, really is a perennial, and you can get that to go. The Vinca Vine, which is sold as an annual, has these, oh, people never get a chance to see these vibrant, I'll call them purpley blue, whatever the real color is, flowers in early spring, because they buy the Vinca Vine after that, most times in some type of floral decor, and then they just throw them away. I'm going to tell you, and Vinca Vine will actually become invasive, and you need to control, because that's how much, it is a vine, and that's how much they grow, but you want to see that. Now, marigolds, and I'm just using that as an example with the annuals, they will reseed themselves. So if you allow your marigolds, and I'll just use marigolds, well, the annuals, but if you allow to go it to seed at the end of the season, they will drop seed. Some of them will even germinate pre, well, they're not going to make it through the winters in harsher climates, but there's enough seed in that place that the next spring, as you're thinking about, and I always have a schematic of where I planted things, I will then know that I don't need to plant marigolds there because they're going to plant them. They've already planted themselves. And you know what? And in those warmer climates, some of these annuals make it through the whole year. It's trial and error. What will grow, what will, you know, the regrowth on some of them. So now let's turn our attention towards Christmas. And I love Christmas. Now, we've got wreaths and garland. Well, I'm going to let you know because I'm going to get to some of the answers in a little bit. But how about after Christmas, you take those wreaths and garland and you chop them up and you put them in your compost pile. They will provide some oxygen because they're providing space inside of that compost pile. What about poinsettias? People buy poinsettias for decorations. They love to give poinsettias as gifts. Well, if you don't know this, the red flower that you're looking at a poinsettia, those really aren't petals of a flower. Those are actually leaves. And that's pretty neat to just so you could, little piece of that puzzle. Well, they actually, you know, you're growing it. You're saying this is beautiful. Christmas is over. And where do they go? People just pitch them out. These are great house plants to keep. Those red petals, they will fall off. No problem. No red leaves, really. They're going to fall off. But you can keep this green plant all year long. By the way, fills in corners because they become like, we'll call them miniature bushes inside your house. And then if you want to get them to flower, because it's funny that different plants have different requirements to flower. The poinsettia is one where they need a lot of darkness, not light, to flower. So what happens with this is people will actually put them in their closets. Yes, you can go online. You can check the actual amount of for your part of the country because you got light and dark going on. And I know part of the hemisphere. I know all that. We can get into the geologic bit. But all I'm going to say to you is this. You put them in your closet. Don't forget about watering them. Take care of them in the dark for X amount of hours a day. And I'm going to let you know that you can force them to flower. So you can force them to flower just before Christmas. So the next Christmas, and some of you are going, well, isn't that a lot of work? No, that's fun. See, if you love plants the way I love plants, well, that's just a little experimentation because every year I always want to experiment something with plants. So maybe your experimentation this year happens to be poinsettias. Now, what about Christmas trees? And I already mentioned to you, I love everything about Christmas. Well, all the trees that we have, look after Christmas. I'm talking about live trees. And people just put them out on the curb. And towns just say, oh, we're going to grind them up. And most of that, really, even though it might get ground up somewhere, ends up as biomass waste. Some of it may get recycled in, but most of it does not. So that, and you should actually check with your own local towns and counties to see what really happens to them. Well, what happens if you were to buy a live tree? And yes, they sell them at Christmas time. Give you a real good example. My great friend, Dr. Bob, growing up, he grew up in a real cold climate. So what he would do is he would have holes pre-dug outside. So every Christmas, he'd pre-dig a hole before the ground froze, knowing exactly where he was, because he was going to buy a Christmas tree for his mom. And what he would do is, hole is pre-dug, soil's right alongside of it. Mom's got the root mass, the root ball, inside. And yes, are you still watering that the same way you would water a plant outside? The answer is yes. Make sure you have a container below to catch the water excess. And after you've done that and Christmas is over, you then, and it's a heavy thing, you get help, and you carry it outside. The hole's already pre-dug. You take the burlap. Key thing, a lot of people will just plant it and they keep the root mass with the burlap and the twine together, and that will actually strangulate the rules. Roots. Those are the rules, the roots. And you need to cut that twine, loosen it, and loosen the burlap, and just loosen a little bit of the soil, get it in the hole, cover it over. It is now winter time, and remember, because it is an evergreen, the sun is out, and it is already making food, and you will find that. And I look at Dr. Bob's, actually his mom's, Mama Fran's, my second mom growing up. You look at her backyard, and it is completely covered in evergreens in different places. He's actually shaded the backside of the property with all of those evergreens. So there's one way of reducing biomass waste, actually quite a bit of biomass waste. So that's one thing you can do. Now, for birthdays, people love to give plants. You know, you're walking in, say, hey, happy birthday, here's a bottle of wine, here's a plant. Well, how about if you purchase the type of plants that could be planted outside? So you show up, and I'll use my purple coneflower example because I just love them. There's, I mean, hey, I have so many different perennials on the property. So you show up with a plant that can be planted outside, because most times people will get a, we call them houseplant, get a houseplant, and right away people go, well, I don't have a green thumb. Well, I don't have a green thumb either. If you have a green thumb, go see a doctor. There is something wrong with you. Well, with that being said, now, you know, learn a little bit about plants, but if you're going to give them a plant that they get to plant outside, somebody say, well, they live in apartments. Well, there are many apartment dwellers that have beautiful, beautiful plants. Sometimes you could actually talk to your complex or your condo associations and all that, and they do allow plantings outside. So just have that conversation, but let's get that going. Now let's go over to Easter. And what about those Easter lilies? They are beautiful flowers. And again, you have bulbs that people show up with. And the bulbs are also forced in greenhouses because they're not supposed to be flowering that early. But they do. Well, the bulbs are real simple. After you've had them inside your house, they're beautiful and they begin to die down. You can actually cut off the actual plant part, dig the bulbs out, keep them in a dry, cool place. And next fall, you replant them. So the following year, you will have, and I'll just use their whatever you have coming up. So you're going to have tulips coming up, whatever it is. And you will actually have your own tulips. If somebody wants to give you them again the following year, guess what? You get extra tulips, and you just keep using those. The same thing with lilies. When you're done, plant them outside. Depends on the climate as to whether they will come back. And with that one, I'm going to include Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is another flower-giving day. So whatever plant you're giving, think about the plant you're going to give as a gift. Think about a plant that somebody can replant outside. And then think about if you are the receiver, the recipient of the gift, well, where can I put that plant? So let's think about that. What I do love about Earth Day is a day for planting. So think about that. And with Earth Day, instead of creating biomass waste, we're creating green. How about green to the Earth Day? And I like to call it that way. And if you don't know this, a lot of the chili, actually not a lot, chili peppers happen to be perennial plants. And most people just pull them at the end of the season, pull them out of their garden. Well, if you had them container grown and I grow some of the chiltepins, some of the real small little guys that are smoking hot, and I have shows on this. But don't leave to listen to that because you need to finish this one right now. Well, with that one, you can actually bring them inside, and I keep them in as house plants, and I get fruit on my plants probably till about December around there. And then I slowly, all winter long, I keep cutting the flowers off. It wants to keep making fruit because it's now in a warm climate because that's what Chile is like. And I just keep slowing the plant down and I get a lot more plant growing because I don't want the energy going into making fruit. And then in early spring, sometimes I'll call you late March, I allow it to start to flower because I'm just eventually going to put these pots back outside. And I have chilies way before everyone else because of that. But there's a way to save some biomass waste by keeping some of your vegetable plants as well. So let's go to one of the major solutions. I gave you little bits of things. Well, how about composting? If you don't have a compost pile on your property, or hey, if you live in a condo, you create an area where everyone can compost. Inspector Dave and I did, and it's really him, we did a great show on composting here, and you could look it up, listen to it on your way to work, wherever you're on your run, whatever you're doing, or if you want to watch Joey B TV, JoeyBee.tv, and watch our episode on composting. Inspector Dave is brilliant in that organic garden, and hey, I know it, but he knows it so well, and I just pose some questions, and he just gives the great answers. But there are so many things about, hey, can you throw a whole pumpkin in your compost? The answer is absolutely yes. Can you throw hay? Because most of the hay really happens to be straw, and straw should be without seeds. But some of them come seeded, and I'm going to let you know that. And you just need to be careful about weed seeds. But if you have a steaming hot compost pile going all year long, includes the wintertime if you're doing it the right way, those weed seeds, and the hay would become weed for your vegetable garden, whatever, those weed seeds would actually then end up being composted up and be returned to the earth. So in the springtime, they would not be seeds anymore. They would just be rich organic matter. Can you cut up your corn plants that you had out for Halloween and put them in your compost pile? The answer is yes. The mums, hey, I'm going to tell you, I really believe you should be planting those because, again, why not get free flowers next year? And if not, can you compost those? The answer is yes. Annual flowers, can you compost them up? The answer is yes. Anybody getting the drift that you can compost all of this stuff up? But it's important to layer that compost pile the right way. And I saved one, we'll call it a holiday. And I'm going to tell you, this one's okay. How about Valentine's Day? Giving someone you love roses. Well, I think that is awesome. And again, roses are not this big biomass waste, and yes, they are, but I would never call roses on Valentine's Day a waste. And they are coming from plants that are obviously, so we're not cutting down a rose plant to create this. We are actually just cutting some long-stem roses, specific types. There's so many varieties of roses. Can you grow your own long-stem roses? The answer is absolutely yes. But I don't think unless you're in a warm climate, you're going to be harvesting them around Valentine's Day. So that's something to think about. But yeah, can you compost those up at the end? And the answer is yes. But hey, go enjoy Valentine's Day. But just more important, as the year goes on, let's not have biomass waste. Let's create more green and a better, solid, healthier earth. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's JoeyBee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.